friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The athletics world continues to shake its collective head over the amazing marathon run by Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. On Sunday in Berlin, Germany, Kipchoge set a new world record with a time of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. And let me hereby issue an official Sunny Side of Sports correction. During Monday's show, I said Eliud bettered the previous marathon world record by 1 minute and 8 seconds. Well, I was off by 10 seconds, sports fans. Eliud lowered it by 1 minute and 18 seconds. Kipchoge's coach, Patrick Sang, is praising the new world record holder for his dedication and determination in training.
The guy worked hard towards this goal that he achieved, and we're really proud of it because it was not an easy journey. We had to sacrifice a lot. I think it's a lesson for us that when you focus on something, sacrifice and work towards it, you will achieve it.
Meanwhile, Eliud Kipchoge wasn't the only athlete achieving a new world record in Berlin on Sunday. Manuela Schauer of Switzerland successfully defended her women's wheelchair race title in world record fashion. Manuela clocked 1 hour, 36 minutes, and 53 seconds. It's more than a minute faster than the previous record time she shared with Japan's Wakako Toshida, set back in 2014. Speaking after the race in Germany, Manuela said, and I quote, "I knew from the start that a lot is possible on Berlin's fast course, even if the record was not my primary goal. First, I wanted to win." Canada's Brent Lacatus was the winner of the men's wheelchair race in Berlin. Brent claimed his first major marathon victory, finishing in 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 41 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Brent after his win. Here's Andy.
Talking with the winner of the men's wheelchair title, the BMW Berlin Marathon, and that's a Canadian, Brent Lacatos, who first time he was in Berlin, finished seventh, but now he's top of the podium. Now, maybe I don't want to injure your pride, but some people are saying it's a surprise win. You've been competing a couple of weeks ago in Zurich in Switzerland on Diamond League on the track, but when we were talking about pre-race favourites, you weren't hot in there. So how do you rate your own win?
Well, it's a surprise for me also. I haven't been doing marathons long. Like you said, last year was my first Berlin and my first marathon. I've been doing track for a while, and so I'm making my transition now to the marathons. And this was going to be my test to see if I could keep on doing it for the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics, and I'm going to.
What's your situation in Canada? I mean, are you earning a living from wheelchair racing? You talk about, obviously, Tokyo 2020 Paralympics, big goal for everybody, but do you have to do a full-time job or a job to support yourself?
I actually live in Great Britain. Yeah, and so my wife's British, and we live up in Loughborough by the training center there. And I don't work full-time. I work part-time also, and working for a North American company, so I can do my training and everything I need to do in the mornings and then work in the afternoons and evenings.
I think anybody who follows wheelchair elite racing, we know you have people like Marcel Hu, David Weir of Britain, Marcel's from Switzerland, and yourself. You do both track and the road. After this win in Berlin, and Berlin's a big title to win, how do you see yourself? Are you still an all-rounder? Are you now saying for the Paralympics, I concentrate on the marathon?
No, I am not giving up on the track. I like the track. I like marathons also, but I'm going to try and do both. And I think wheelchair racing is a little bit different than running. Obviously, you're using your arms. They're a smaller muscle group. And so we can recover faster from bigger trainings because they are a smaller muscle group. And so it's possible for athletes to cover different distances and different surfaces also.
Just one last question. I mean, what do you make of the Berlin course? People talk about Berlin being fast, you know, whether you're a runner, wheelchair, seem to be pretty good conditions today, not too hot and dry road surface. Yeah. So you, as the wheelchair winner, how did you rate it?
I like Berlin. It is a nice course, and today was perfect conditions. There's not too much wind also, which is very helpful. It's very smooth, flat roads, and the little vibrations, you lose lots of energy in those being on wheels. And so the fact that the pavement is in such good condition helps us.
Well, many congratulations. All the best for those hopes. Tokyo Paralympics, it's getting closer, isn't it? 2 years from now. Brent, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Berlin Marathon men's wheelchair race winner Brent Lakatos in Germany. Brent tweeted the following after the race: "What an unbelievable experience! The Berlin Marathon has been an absolute pleasure to attend." I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter and Facebook. My Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports, and my Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Multiple major marathon champion Tatiana McFadden of the United States had a tough time in the women's wheelchair race in Berlin. She finished in 9th place after racing in a borrowed wheelchair. Her own was damaged a day earlier in training.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
A group of young and disabled boys and girls in Indian-administered Kashmir recently dribbled and took shots in a wheelchair basketball workshop. VOA's Bejan Hamdard reports.
Being born disabled is one thing, but becoming disabled comes with phases of acceptance. The newfound activity of wheelchair basketball has forever changed the lives of these young men and women. Some now seemingly glow with a new determination.
When I got into an accident, I went into a state of deep depression. I had no desire to live. My parents were also suffering with me. But ever since I've picked up this game, I've been really feeling good. And now I'm a national player. I'm representing my state. It feels really good.
Insha Bashir and about 24 other disabled young people recently participated in a 3-day wheelchair basketball workshop in Srinagar. Wheelchair basketball is played by people with varying physical disabilities and is a sport played in the Paralympics.
The purpose of this is to teach them wheelchair basketball so that there is more inclusion through the sport. Kashmir is promoting girls this time, and we have 4 players, and I am very confident that the girls will also participate in the upcoming competitions.
The nearly 3-decade-old turmoil in Indian-administered Kashmir has led to an increase in the number of disabled locals. Bashir feels that it is important not to lose hope.
Basketball has become part of my life, and I would like to say that you should never give up in life. It takes time, and you face problems so much that accepting becomes tough. It takes time for everyone.
In order to lift spirits and motivate participants, the workshop's organizers preach their motto every chance they get: my ability is stronger than my disability. This is Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Thanks, Bejan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net, thanks to Dikembe. That's the Congolese giant and basketball Hall of Famer, Dikembe Mutombo. The head coach of Mali's men's basketball team, Remy Julien Goïta, is confident the sport can grow in his country. At the recent FIBA World Cup basketball qualifying tournament in Lagos, Nigeria, Mali had one victory and two defeats. Coach Goïta took charge of the Malian team in February. In an interview with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Coach Goïta talked about how basketball is developing in Mali.
I give all I got for Mali. I want to help this country because it's a lot of potential, a lot of young, good players. Mali just won the under-18 African Cup in boys, in women. They got a very good under-16 who went to the World Cup. And we can see the men's team also is not that far from top team. Mali never ranked better than 9 in Africa, and I think we can try to keep working and bring Mali in the top 5 teams of Africa.
And what is the response like? Are people responding to the training and the efforts you're making to popularize the game in Mali?
The response is we work a lot, and like we said, it's difficult because it's a lot of new players coming from all over place. We miss, of course, a lot of other good players who play in USA that don't come, like Sheikh Diallo, who play the NBA, Sagaba Konate, who play West Virginia, and other. I know Mali has a lot of potential all around the world, so I wish also everybody be invest and try to help this country, because they really deserve to, with all the efforts doing by the federation, by the ministry. I mean, Mali really needs to everybody to help this country to reach top African team.
What lessons did you learn from these qualifiers that you played?
The lesson is that we're not that far, but we miss something. So we need to not educate, but to make the player progress on the knowledge of the game, on caring more about those details, you know, those turnovers, and we need to help the players with more practice, more preparation, and I'm sure that Mali can really progress those next years.
That's Remy Julien Goïta, the head coach of Mali's men's basketball team, and he spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. Also in Lagos, the first ever African freestyle football championship ended Saturday with male and female winners crowned. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The World Freestyle Football Association describes the sport like this: the art and sport of juggling a football using all parts of the body and outperform opponents. Well, fancy footwork was on full display at the 3-day event. 16 male and 8 female athletes from over 20 African countries used stunts and tricks to dribble a football across their bodies to try and beat the competition. Odike Nzewi is the CEO of Feet and Tricks, the organizers of the tournament. Nzewi hopes the international spotlight will help ball-juggling youth in Africa build a livelihood out of their skill.
It's to create an enabling environment for those talented youth, you know, to have a sustainable living. You know, so basically what we want is to develop them to a point where they become like superstars and people, companies can employ them for whatever activations they want to do. You know, the guy that won last year, Urbano McCarthy, he already does stuff for some companies in Nigeria. He's based in Abuja. So what we want is to get to that level where we give these people a livelihood. I mean, we can make them stars like the musicians and the comedians, you know, because what skills they have is something that is truly worth exploiting.
Well, that is certainly the hope for this year's winners. Abdou Connor Kone of the Ivory Coast was crowned the first African male freestyle football champion. After his win, he was practically speechless. Kone says, I'm really, really really happy. I have no words. After this, I am planning to play football professionally. Well, he'll have a chance to step onto England's soccer stage, along with an award of $3,000 and a brand new car. He'll fly to the UK to perform during halftime at a Premier League match. Kone fought off some tough competition, mainly his main challenger, Youssef Amen Rayesco of Egypt. Following his second-place win, Rayesco said the most important factor in freestyling is concentration.
It's a game of focus, and if you lose focus for 1 second, you might lose the ball, you might lose the battle easily. So it's not about who's the best freestyler in general, it's about who was the best freestyler at that moment in that battle. So, yeah, I think this is what happened to me maybe today in the final. But I'm really grateful to be here.
On the women's side, Nigeria's Rasheedat Ajibade beat the competition to become Africa's first female freestyle football champion. Feet and Tricks organizers described the event as a huge success and said the competition will be held annually, which should make this fan very happy.
I had fun from the beginning of the show. Every moment was worth it, like, because the footballers, the freestylers, the musicians and people that performed and showed the turn-up king was, the energy was on point.
Nigeria has previously held its own local tournaments, but the chairman of Feet and Tricks says the debut of the international version will pave a new direction for freestyle football in Africa. The organization plans to use all of their resources to create more awareness for the sport. And that's all from me for now. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen, and congratulations to all those footballers showing off their fancy footwork in Lagos. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Holy cow! Tottenham Hotspur manager Mauricio Pochettino had some reporters scratching their heads when he compared his team's Champions League chances to cows watching trains.
Our experience is experience, but you need to apply the experience plus the hunger plus your own motivation plus being clever and learning. Experience. If you are not clever, it's only experience. It's not going to help you in the future. It's like a cow that always, every single day during 10 years, see the train cross in front in the same time. And if you ask the cow what time is going to come the train, it's not going to have the right answer. It's not going to answer. In football, it's the same. Experience, yes, it's of course experience, but hunger, motivation, circumstance, everything is so important. Many things in football that are so important.
Pochettino's bizarre analogy evoke memories of other funny quotes by football coaches. Jose Mourinho, currently in charge of Manchester United, compared his young players to eggs when he coached Chelsea.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mom, in this case, a dad, to take care of them, to keep them warm during the winter, to bring the blankets and to work and improve them. And one day will arrive the moment where the weather change, the sun rise, you break the eggs, and the eggs are ready to go for life at the top level.
Jose Mourinho's Manchester United team will kick off its UEFA Champions League campaign on Wednesday in Bern, Switzerland. That's where Man U will meet Young Boys. At a pregame news conference in Bern, Young Boys defender Benito Lloris said his team is ready to play physical, attacking football.
I think we come out of a phase where we've won a lot of games. We were able to gain a lot of confidence. Also, in terms of games on the European stage, we were able to gain a lot of confidence in the games such as CSKA Moscow, which we lost. But nevertheless, I think it was a big experience for us. So we take this into this group stage as well. And also the courage to play offensive football. I think we've shown in the past that we are able to play good football, physically strong. And I think these are things that you cannot underestimate.
Young Boys defender Benito Loris talks about his team's attitude as it gets ready to take on Manchester United.
I'm calm. We prepared ourselves the best way possible for the game. We analysed the opponent, so we know what we have to do. And tomorrow it's going to be a big stage. For a lot of us, it's a new stage, but we're going to be ready. And as soon as the referee starts the game, the nervousness is going to be gone.
That's defender Benito Loris of the Swiss football club Young Boys talking about his team's match against Manchester United. Should be a good one in Bern, Switzerland. In African football news, Sierra Leone's Anti-Corruption Commission has raided the offices of the country's football association. The raid came exactly 7 days after the commission sent a letter to Sierra Leone Football Association President Isha Johansson to step down. The commission says under Sierra Leone law, Johansson and her secretary, Chris Kamara, must leave their posts while they're being investigated. Johansson and Kamara have denied any wrongdoing. Before the raid, football's world governing body, FIFA, said it was closely monitoring developments in Sierra Leone and plans to provide its Member Associations Committee an update on September 26th. The French football club Montpellier says its South African midfielder Keegan Dolly has undergone successful surgery for a fractured fibula. The 25-year-old Dolly suffered the injury in Saturday's 1-1 draw with Strasbourg in a French league match. Dolly collided with Strasbourg's Jeremy Grimm, and he underwent surgery on Monday. He's expected to be sidelined several weeks, and he could miss South Africa's upcoming 2019 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches against the Seychelles in October and Nigeria in November. Keegan Dolly moved from the South African club Mamelodi Sundowns to Montpellier in January 2017 for a fee of about $2 million. He captained South Africa's football team at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I again encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice and sporty photo by Reuters photographer Fabrizio Bench. Fabrizio took a shot of the new marathon world record holder, Eliud Kipchoge, right after he set that amazing run in Berlin, Germany. Eliud has his index finger raised, and right behind Eliud is a clock that reads 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. That's the new world record in the marathon set by Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge, who undoubtedly is now the greatest marathoner in history. You heard it here first. Eliud Kipchoge, number one for sure. And that wraps up the September 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Lynor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll have an exclusive interview with Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Capacity Building Foundation, the Africa Union's specialized agency for capacity development, has coordinated programs worth $700 million since 1991. The African Capacity Building Foundation, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.